everyone. I'd like to call the May 9th study session of the City Council to order. For the record, Council Member Smotherson is joining us by teleconference. Mr. Rose.
Mayor, thank you, and Council Members. I need a vacation. But I can't afford it. So I persuade you to cover the cost for my vacation. And my vacation is going to cost $2,000. So in addition to covering my cost for my vacation, I ask you, hey, can you take me to the airport? So we do. And I grab my one bag out of the back of the vehicle. And I proceed on my vacation. And a few days later, I contact you and say, will you pick me up? And you agree to. So when you get to the airport, I have five bags now that I want to load into your vehicle. So on the way taking me home, you ask the question, you know, you had one bag when you left, now you have five bags. So what's in all those bags? So I tell you, you know, I was on vacation, so I bought a lot of gifts when I was on vacation. And so you ask a natural question, well, you know, how much did you pay for those gifts? And I share with you, I paid $2,000 for those gifts. So your question to me will be, and you may not be malicious in this, but if you could afford the gifts for $2,000, then why did you ask me to pay for your vacation? Are all of them out? Oh, there it is. There it is. So that is the central issue that we have with Fair Use City. The second issue that we have, some have described it as, well, the things, services that we were asking for, you were going to do those anyway. And I'm going to share with you a slightly different analysis. So when you take me to the airport, I lean back in and I ask you, well, how much do I owe you? And you say to me, you don't owe me anything. I was bringing my sister to the airport anyway. That's an example of in-kind. It doesn't cost you anything. But when you pick me up, I lean back in and I ask you, well, how much do I owe you? And you share with me, the only reason I'm at the airport is to pick you up. So that's a service that we're providing. So the services that we were providing in this example for Fair Use City were services. They weren't in kind. We would not be otherwise working overtime. We would not be otherwise setting up. We would not be otherwise breaking down, but for this event. So it's not in kind. It's a service. Let me state clearly that I have no interest in vilifying the volunteers that work very hard on Fair Use City and providing an amenity to our community, because I know in their hearts they want to do what's in the best. Thank you. I know in their hearts they're interested in doing what's in the best interest of the city and our community. I simply believe that they were trying to do the right thing, just in the wrong way. So let me go through some of the details of what actually occurred. So some of the dates, we started out this process probably before February 13th, but certainly on February 13th, staff met with representatives of Fair Use City. At that time, we shared with them that we must have a contract with them because we're using taxpayers' funds in order to subsidize this operation. On the 26th of February, a follow-up email was sent to them, sharing with them, look, we'd shared that if you want to get the park, then you need to go before the Park Commission and make that request, because they are an advisory group to the mayor and council. So we share it with them. Look, the Park Commission is coming up on March the 19th. On March the 19th, the Park Commission, we actually had Fair Use City on the agenda, but no one attended. No representative from Fair Use City attended. They did attend in April a meeting, made the request for the park, and we had a follow-up meeting scheduled for May the 1st to review the contract with them. It was going to be the first time that we actually had a dialogue back and forth about what was being requested. And once again, no one from Fair Use City was present. So let's go over what the terms of the proposed agreement were. We said that you must provide insurance, that you must obtain the proper permits, that if you are using the park, you have to provide a refundable deposit. So if there's no damage, all of those funds would be reversed.
All right, try talking now.
Can you hear me? Okay. So what we said is before you provide scholarships, you have to cover those costs before you start providing gifts, although maybe well-deserved, that the event needs to cover its full cost. And before you provide scholarships, that are the city services that we provide, you must also cover those costs. Now, let's make an assumption that, indeed, the fair doesn't generate enough money. We said if that is the case in 5 years, all fees are waived. That is the recommendation that I had tentatively agreed to make to you regarding this contract. Some of the legal concerns. Why was this important for the mayor and council to act on it? The funds that were in question were not budgeted. So we had really no authority to agree to overtime, to pay overtime, especially for public safety, to provide service to that event. And also, although the planning or the Parks Commission could make a recommendation to the mayor and council, that's simply a recommendation. Ultimately, it's your decision as to whether you want to waive the fees for the park. I believe that the fair is an important amenity for our city, and I think that we still continue to have an opportunity to provide that amenity. Certainly not this fiscal year, but I do believe it could occur next fiscal year. So what I am asking is for authorization for staff to evaluate hosting a fair in 2020 and to provide reports to you on the location, timing, potential partnerships, and cost. Further, this activity is probably qualifies as tourism because it really is more than even a regional draw. So if it is qualified as tourism, then are EDRST funds appropriate to use? In closing, I want to read something in because I want to ensure that it is clear. Each day, staff endeavors to restore your faith and confidence and that of the public in our government. You see, there's a difference between government and governance. We put out the fires. We protect residents. We fill potholes. We provide recreational activities. And soon, we'll even provide you with a ride to the hospital. That is government, and that is staff is the face of government. Governance is what you do. You're responsible as a council. You make policy decisions about things such as zoning, the vision of the city, and how limited taxpayers' dollars are spent. That is not an administrative role. That is a council role. So that is why this item was coming before you. The challenges that you and the public have had with our government was long before me, and they are well documented. But you can be assured that this government will conduct ourselves in a manner that is above reproach and consistent with our core values of integrity, customer service, accountable, and empowerment. And that I will hold true to the International City County Managers Association Code of Ethics, which I have shared with each of you. I'll respond to any questions that you have.
Any questions from any of my colleagues? Mr. Clay?
Thank you, Mr. Rose, for your presentation on this topic. So let me just be sure I understand the dynamics. There are two issues that I see at play. There's the execution of the fair itself, and then there's the granting of the scholarships. It's been my understanding, and in full disclosure, I've had conversations with folks who were associated with the fair. The execution of the fair itself could have continued. I've not seen evidence of a circumstance that necessarily would have prevented the execution of the fair. What could have potentially been injured if the fair did not generate a requisite amount of profit is the giving out of the scholarships. Is that your understanding?
That is correct.
I'm not necessarily asking you to speak on behalf of...
Right, but that is correct. That's the way that the proposed contract is structured.
Okay. So, thank you. I appreciate that clarification.
Thank you, Mayor. I really have just a couple of comments. First, I really want to thank the city manager for providing the contracts, the timelines, and the email documentation on the web. I think all of us were caught off guard when this news came out because I didn't know anything about the contract until you sent it to us, I believe, Monday of this week. So that was, I think, extremely helpful, and I think once that information made its way out to the public, it really tempered and changed the tone of the discussion on social media. Further, I just want to say I appreciate the implementation of processes throughout this administration and this your organization. I think that's been very much needed, and I like that consistency that you bring to us every day and every council meeting. Finally, we're very much on the same page. I actually wanted to make a similar request because I believe all of my colleagues recognize the importance of community events that showcase the very best of U City. I would like to ask if there's consensus among us to direct the city manager to explore, I word it a bit differently, to explore the development of a fair designed to maximize the inclusivity of our community, our entire community, organizations, residents, and businesses alike, with music events as we've had in the past, and possibly incorporating something new, a taste of U City for next year, and also explore potential partnerships, costs, sponsorships, etc. And finally, I would ask if the city manager believes it's feasible if he. If it's feasible to come back to the council with a report and recommendation in the next 90 to 100 days.
I do.
So
I'm making that commitment for Darren, so where are you? Okay. Within the next 90 or 100 days, a report back to the council on the feasibility of the fair.
Okay. I think there was probably consensus as the city manager even made his remarks. It looks like everyone is, for those people who may be watching, are we live streaming tonight?
Yes.
For those people who may be watching, it seems like there's a consensus that agrees with the city manager's approach to move forward with an exploration of a community event. With that, I don't believe there are any other questions from members of the council. Can we move forward into the next agenda item?
Yes. Honorable Mayor, council members, the next item is a review of the FY 2024 capital improvement program that is being proposed. It is based upon the priorities that were established through the budget process last year. I'll review just very briefly what a CIP is intended for. First of all, it looks at a capital investment over a period of about 5 years. The first year of that investment is included in the proposed FY 2020 annual operating budget. And it is considered the capital budget. One of the reasons that it's important to have a capital improvement program is so that some of the challenges that we have with utilities cutting in our street, we can minimize the likeliness of that occurring because they then know of when we are going to make improvements to any particular street or right of way. What does the proposed capital improvement program achieve? It totals for the five-year period $25,818,343. You can see how the funds are allocated within the various departments, and I will go through each department and highlight the projects included. Starting out with fire, what is included for 2020 is the purchase of the second ambulance for $250,000. The next project, it funds the replacement of a pumper truck. The total cost of that truck is $500,000. That's an allocation of $250,000 for FY 2021 and FY 2022. For the Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Department, looking at continuing to fund tree replacement. If you recall, the ash borer, emerald ash borer, is making it necessary to replace trees. $75,000 each year over a five-year period. Centennial Common Painting, recommending $114,000 to occur next fiscal year. Heman Park Pool Improvements, $250,000 for next fiscal year. Replacing some of the exercise equipment, we've already started that process, but allocating an additional $20,000 next year. Also looking at improvements for the short game of the golf course. They may end up needing this to leverage funds. We'll look at grants and so forth to see if that's feasible. $30,000. Roof golf course lighting installation, $130,000. I have identified that for FY 2021. I will be asking Darren to take a very close look at the feasibility of those lights and how we might make that work. For the police department, this slide reflects the movement of the construction of the police facility to FY 2022. For next year, it funds, I believe that's five police vehicles for 2020 at a cost of $114,000. Another license plate reader, mobile data terminals, and also one of the things that we had committed to was trying to be more aggressive in identifying when shots are fired, whether in celebration or just randomly, being able to detect where those shots are coming from and take aggressive action to minimize the likeliness of it occurring in the future. And we're recommending $75,000 to purchase a system next fiscal year. I'll digress for a second. You know now that our police chief is very famous. So seek his autograph today, right? But we did highlight that, I believe, on the video as well. For planning and development, the one item that we have for next fiscal year, we're looking at moving towards alternative fuel vehicles. Mr. Cross, Clifford is looking to partner with Ameren to have electrical vehicles. So we're looking to identify locations for electrical outlets that can be used by both city as well as the public at large. For Public Works, we're still programming the solid waste grant match for the next 5 years. Looking at the parking meter replacement program, $50,000 over the next 5 years. Continuing with the enhanced street lighting program of $75,000. If you recall, the intention is to use lighting as a mechanism for reducing crime in targeted areas. ADA curb over the next 5 years, $50,000, and continuing with curb and sidewalk replacement at $400,000 each year. Continuing with public works, street maintenance, $700,000. Also continuing with our facility improvements. You only need to look here at the large hole in City Hall and our roof to see why those funds are important. Canton Avenue, looking to improve the fence, and purchasing cost accounting software. Am I back? Okay. So that we can better track and account for funds associated with our capital projects. The next step for the CIP will be the first year again. We'll go into the annual operating budget and be the capital program, our capital budget. We will have a public hearing that will be at the same time as the annual operating budget. We'll hold another budget study session with the council, and hopefully in the latter part of June, the mayor and council will adopt both the annual operating budget and the capital improvement program. So I went through that pretty fast. Did you have any questions on any of those? We will, as a part of the next presentation, you'll be revisiting some of those projects because they'll be in the first year.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Rose, on page 8, you indicated that the police department highlights the funds police car purchases at $114,000, and you said that you believed that that was for five vehicles?
That's correct.
That comes about $22,000 a vehicle. Does that sound about right?
I have the chief here, so is that...
Yes, we're currently trying to purchase cheaper vehicles, and what I mean by that, cheaper police packages. Package has been downsized, so we're looking at Dodge Chargers as well as other options for the next year. The oncoming fiscal year for the police, or the state bid, has not been released. It's usually not released until late July, early August. So we'll know more then at that point.
Okay, thank you for that. And one follow-up question, does that also include the cost to convert the vehicles to the needs of the police department?
Outfitting of it.
Yes.
It does?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, it does not include all of the costs as far as that we, if we were to add special equipment with it, so that each vehicle would not have the special equipment. The cameras, the cars, the cameras, the GPS, that's already purchased.
Anyone else? Ms. Carr?
Thank you. Mr. Rose, will we be looking at anything, and there is nothing specific, but for stormwater, because we do have some stormwater problems? For instance, one right now over in Lewis Park.
Honorable Mayor and Mayor Pro Tem, the reason that the stormwater was not included in the capital improvement program is because I know that they're working on a master plan. One of the things that you will see, whether it's this year or next year, is some amendments to the budget. So once that plan is in place, we'll have a better idea of what cost the city will incur. And so at that point, we can bring that information to you and ask to amend the budget.
Thank you.
Mr. Clay?
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Thank you for the presentation, City Manager Rose. Had a few questions on a couple of different topics. I want to draw everyone's attention.
Are you on CIP? Or?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. Capital Improvement Plan. Okay. Page 25 articulates, as you've noted here, the construction of a second police station. And I do have some questions about that, candidly, some concerns about that. Not to build or not to build, but rather from a process perspective. I'm looking at page now on the CIP, page 35, the citywide space needs study. And I'm flashing in a lovely array of green.
If you push it again, it might come back.
Okay. My back?
Yeah.
Okay. On page 35, what I see is a citywide space needs study. And that's for fiscal year 2022. As we think about the police station and where they are housed, and we know where they are housed is currently not adequate, so I certainly understand the urgency around this issue. My concern is we have a study that is out looking at the feasibility of the annex. We don't have the results from that yet. So just, you know, my thinking is that we should probably hold any even kind of initial evaluation of what we should do till we get that back. But furthermore, in thinking about a police station, this is, and you've heard me use this term before, a generational decision. And my concern is to make a generational decision without understanding all the needs specifically related to our municipal plaza that I think the citywide space study would yield, I think doesn't put us in the right planning position necessarily. I do have concerns about that. So let me kind of start there, and then I can follow up.
To address the issue of the police facility, as you are aware, when this document was put together, it's kind of funny. We were up under whether Better Together was actually going to move forward. And so I believe that there is still some uncertainty about what will actually happen with Better Together. But the reason that the item was initially pushed out to 2022 was for that reason, so that we would have some a better understanding of exactly whether we would even exist as a city. So now that it seems likely that we will exist as a city, I think taking time to complete the study on the annex, as well as moving back and now perhaps moving the space needs study forward so that we can identify the use for all of these facilities that we have. So I had only pushed the space needs study backward because, again, we were unsure about what was going to occur with Better Together. Now that is very likely an amendment that I will be asking council to make to the annual operating budget to bring that space needs study forward. If there is a desire to, whether that is to remove or to let the station remain in 2022, I believe that the space needs study and the annex study should be concluded so we can bring that information to you and you can make a more informed decision about the police facility, police station, sorry.
And I appreciate that. Moving that, because I think that space needs study is really going to be significant because we have buildings that we don't know what to do with currently in our municipal plaza, and I think we need to have a plan and think comprehensively about it. So that that concludes my comments on the capital improvement plan.
Anyone else on CIP? Mr. McMahon?
Thank you, Mayor. Just briefly, Mr. Rose, with the capital improvements related to parks and recreations, I'm assuming you took into account the parks and recreations priorities that the Parks Commission had provided to us a while back in those decisions, and was there any correlation of which of their priorities matched up with the recommendations you're making so that when we go back and talk to the Parks Commission, we kind of correlate where we're at with their ideas as they match up with staff?
There are a few. One is the Heman. I believe actually all of these projects are included, with perhaps maybe the exception of the tree replacement, are included in the plan that the Park Commission drafted, put together. So some of the projects are contingent upon our ability to get grants. And so we will still pursue those grants, but I did not list them, I don't believe, here because of the uncertainty with it. So we're going to be seeking grants for parks and recreation, but at the same time, we'll be seeking grants for road improvements as well. And so they may be competing. Long story short, whatever grant funds we receive, we'll end up asking the mayor and council to amend the budget to reflect the receipt of those grants.
Can we move on to the next?
Yes. I'd like to present to you the proposed FY 2019-2020 annual operating budget presentation. Again, the priorities were already set. In this structure, I think that I mentioned that you would always, I believe, be seeking improvements to our structure of our organization. And in this structure, the assistant to the city manager, primary job is human resources. I'm recommending that we place, in addition to the print center, the fleet operations. And let me share with you why I'm recommending the fleet operations be moved out of public works. And I'll go back to an analogy again, if you don't mind. Okay. So I have a car repair place. I own it. You're a friend of mine. Both of our cars break down. And so we take our cars into the car repair place that I own, same day, same time. What car do you believe they're going to repair first? So even if I tell you, no, we have a great schedule, we look at the priorities, the complexity of the repair, you're still going to wonder, if they repaired my car first, was that true? So this is a support operation for the organization. And in order for us not to have an inherent conflict of interest, I'm suggesting let's move it out of an operating department that has multiple vehicles of their own and do a fine job. But that perception still exists. Let's move it into a support area so that we can ensure the fairness of the repairs that would occur. So that is the primary reason that I'm recommending that we move it. I do believe that we can always look to improve our operations, and I can share with you that this is one operations that we will be doing a very deep dive on next fiscal year. The rest of the organization remains, for the most part, intact. Just giving you an example of what the tax rate we believe will go to, a slight reduction in the property tax rate. As you know, we won't know that for several months. And the impact on the tax bill. Again, this just looks at the actual amounts with the assumption of an assessed valuation of $38,000. Some of the major highlights of this budget is that we fund the in-house EMS services, increase the contribution to the uniform pension plan. As you know, we're going through the process of the actuarial study now to determine what the impacts are. So we looked at the existing actuarial study, and it recommended, I believe, $417,000. So that's what's being recommended at this point. Those numbers may change. And if we know what those numbers are before it is up for adoption, I'll be asking for an amendment to the budget as a part of the approval process. It funds internal management of the parking garage. Currently, we have a contract with St. Louis Parking. I believe that we can do a better job of managing that operation, as well as receive greater revenue from that underperforming asset at this point. It restructures fleet operation, places it up under the assistant to the city manager. We would have the same or reduced tax rate, and we would continue to exceed the requirement, I believe, of 17% for the general fund as a fund balance, far exceed that requirement, in fact.
And that balance right now is what percentage?
37% is what is being recommended. Now, let me clarify that, is that there are still some unknowns. We don't know what the pension fund requirements are going to be, so there has to be some flexibility there to address that issue if needed. So it funds the capital budget. There are no COLA recommendation for this year. If you recall, you recently approved the class and compensation study, which ensured that we were competitive in the marketplace. I will very likely come back next year with a cost of living allowance to ensure that we remain competitive in the marketplace. It restructures some of the salary. If you recall, there are a lot of transfers that occurred last year from, example, capital. I've just moved those salaries out. So that transfers are not needed because, for example, Earl Tate only works on capital projects. So why would he be funded out of general fund if his sole reason for being here is to work on capital projects? So we made some of those corrections, and we think it's an easier budget to evaluate now. And it funds proposes to fund in-house pool management. If you recall, we had contracted. Mr. Dunkel believes that he will be able to hire the staff that's necessary for us to perform those tasks in-house now. All funds, governmental funds, this excludes enterprises, the revenues at slightly over $32 million, expenditures slightly under 30, or slightly over $30 million, and the ending fund balance of roughly $17 million. This just gives you a breakdown of all the funding revenue sources, and that includes the enterprise funds as well. This is just an exploding pie chart that reflects the percentages. Again, we start looking at the general fund and what those revenues are looking like. You can clearly see that we are heavily dependent on gross receipts tax, or sales tax and use tax. So the need to diversify our economy is a serious issue because if our economy changes and we don't keep pace, we are no longer heavily reliant, as you can see, on property taxes. We are heavily reliant on sales and use tax. This just gives you the percentage breakdown with an exploding pie chart. Some of the transfers into general fund, I explained it in my transmittal letter, public safety fund at $1,264,700. The biggest portion of that has to do with the covering the cost for the increase in funding for salaries for public safety. The second item is the loan that we made to the public safety fund for the police station, the $6 million, if you recall. The third item is covering some of the capital cost for police as well. The other funds are making those transfers solely for repayment of loans that general fund made to those various funds. Proposing to restructure fleet, currently we typically have a schedule when cars are being replaced. I'm proposing to replace vehicles, all vehicles, on an as-needed basis. So each year we'll evaluate our fleet and determine what vehicles need to be purchased, as well as I'm purchasing those vehicles out of the actual departments so that we can have a better understanding what the actual cost of operating a department is. So the transfer now from general fund to fleet is only to cover the operating cost. So that's what that reflects. This just gives you a breakdown of the various expenditures. You can still see that public safety has the lion's share. That's the exploding pie chart that gives you the percentages. General fund summary. The end effect is about a $600,000 difference. Again, I'm not recommending that we use those funds until we have greater certainty about what's going to be needed for the pension, both the non-uniform as well as the uniform plan. Some of the department highlights for the city manager's office: it replaces fleet operation up under human resources. That's the assistant to the city manager. It moves ROARS. If you recall, we were contracting that out. We intend to bring it back in-house now that we have a director over communications. Moves the parking garage management up under economic development. And communications also includes information technology. So that's why you see funds, computer replacement, network upgrades, and so forth up under the city manager's office now. For finance, we're primarily just maintaining existing service levels. For the municipal court, the same. For police, again, the gunshot detection, the vehicles, the MDTs, the license plate readers. For fire, funding in-house EMS, purchase of an ambulance. We are adding a part-time am I back? Yep. Can you hear me? Okay. For Public Works, again, this was all seen in the capital improvement program. I do want to highlight we're allocating $460,000 for the sewer lateral repairs. You may recall we changed that program. You changed that program this fiscal year? Mm-hmm. This fiscal year. It absorbs the increase in the landfill costs as well as it absorbs the recycling costs. And we did a presentation to you, I believe, a couple of weeks ago about those issues. For planning, it adds the alternative fuel vehicles, the electric cars. We will have those driven by code enforcement officers. Currently, they drive their own vehicles. We'll also include GPS on there so that we can ensure that we know where the vehicles are at all times. Park and Rec, again, the in-house pool management. We'll need to evaluate for the golf course, the green fees, to determine if they are set where they should be, if we're at least breaking even with the golf course. If you recall, you ended up loaning that fund $500,000 at the end of last fiscal year, and it started the repayment. I'm not so sure. I don't believe that fees have been increased for the golf course in, let's just say, a very long time. So we're going to ask council to allow us to take a look at that. Some of the other funds for the public safety sales tax, as you can see, it still has a very healthy fund balance. That reflects the different expenditures that we anticipate, heavily more loaded because of the fund balance that exists. We knew that we were doing the class and compensation study, so we had saved funds in that fund that we can use now. And those just reflects what we believe will be the annual revenues coming in. For the capital improvement program, most of that is the capital budget reflected in the capital improvement program, identifies the revenue. We'll still have a good ending fund balance. We believe some of the projects planned for this year, such as some of the improvements for facilities, may not happen. So those funds will drop down to fund balance as well. Parks and storm waters, again, it just reflects. This was actually negative. Now we're going to have a positive. I would suspect that we will be evaluating what happens with the stormwater task force and likely making a recommendation to you to amend the budget once we know more about that. EDRST funds. What we've done is identified the expenditures for the administrative side, so we're no longer recommending that you do the transfer. We're dropping all of the remaining revenues to fund balance. We'll be asking you to bring those funds up once it's determined, once they go through the application process and a recommendation can be made to you about how those funds should be spent. So I am certain that we'll be asking for an amendment to the budget very early on. I hope to be able to do that before it's approved. If not, then it's going to be very early on next fiscal year. Some of the budget discussion items just wanted to raise with you, not necessarily for tonight, but we're going to provide to you a report on the effectiveness of the ITN program. Also, the Loop Special Business District proposed budget, there needs to be some discussion on that. We know that one of the requirements is for a strategic plan. That does not seem to be reflected in their budget. There may be other items as well. What do I see on the horizon? We'll be completing the solid waste rate study, presenting that information to you. I'm recommending to the Mayor and Council to create a task force so that they can work with staff and our consultant to ensure that the numbers add up and they will ultimately.
Try that.
Am I back? Okay. They will ultimately make a recommendation to you regarding those rates. In no way do I believe a rate increase is needed for this fiscal year or next fiscal year. So we're talking at the very earliest out in 2021 or 2022. Better together, still unknown as to what's going to happen there. Looking at the industrial park expansion, need to develop a real strategy and bring that forward to you with a recommendation on how we might expand that area. I think it gives us another opportunity to diversify our economy. And certainly the Olive Iowa Okay, I'm good. I'm back. So we are hopeful that we will be able to bring that forward to you for consideration very soon. I'd be happy to respond. There were some questions that I received via email, so I would like to go over those if you don't mind. One of the questions was what amount are we funding for the Arts and Letters program and compare that to past years. And this fiscal year, we allocated $20,000, which is what was requested, and that's the same amount that's being proposed for next fiscal year. We can go further back, but that's all the information that we had at this point. There is also a question regarding the potential of hiring an executive director for the Loop. As you know, I am currently working to coordinate a strategic planning session with the Mayor and Council during the summertime. I'd like to hopefully I persuaded you to do those on an annual basis. I think that we all get a lot out of that. This is maybe one of the items that you might discuss during that strategic planning session. What's going to be the vision for the Loop? What's going to happen with the CID? What will that mean for the Loop Special Business District? I think all of those issues we need to provide you with information on and give you an opportunity to really do a thorough discussion, have a thorough discussion on those issues. tab back. There were a few questions. One was regarding the non-uniform pension fund. We're currently doing an actuarial study for both the non-pension and non-uniform and the uniform pension fund. I'll have a better answer for you, perhaps even as early as next week. We're working with a consultant. We hope to bring that to the pension board and provide you shortly thereafter with a recommendation on what is the appropriate level to fund both pension funds at. And I'm looking to make sure that that was the question.
Yeah, I'll follow up with you, but yes, okay. For the purposes of this, yes.
Oh, and I believe I've addressed the issue of the fleet operations, why I'm proposing to move it to the assistant to the city manager, place that upon the city manager's office. We will provide detailed financial projections, revenues on the SAFER grant. As you know, the SAFER grant is a 3-year grant. The funding for it is 75%, and then 25%, and that covers salaries and benefits, as I understand it. Chief? Yes. Okay. So salaries and benefits. Were you looking for something greater than that, or are you just wanting to know how the amount of funds that we will receive from the SAFER grant each year?
Well, you have a template in terms of a detail that's provided. I can share it with you because I know I just got these to you yesterday. So let me follow up with you and show you the format I'm looking for.
Address the issue of the public hearing. And if I might, I'd like to. I'm going to start taking this personal. The next steps in our current process, included in the budget is that on June the 11th, that should actually be June the 10th, we're recommending that you hold the official public hearing on the budget. That would mean June the 17th. We will have your second study session, so any questions that you might have that aren't answered tonight, we would be responding to on June the 17th. June the 24th is the actual date that we would bring the budget forward and the CIP forward to you for adoption. So those are the meetings that are currently planned. If you would like to have additional meetings, then we would need to schedule that.
Well, I guess that was my question. I guess, so the public hearing, do we have a location for that? Is that here? Is that?
That's here at City Hall.
Because my thing, as we discussed, is perhaps doing a meeting outside of City Hall. Yes, it's some, you know, it's City Hall. Yes, it's not inappropriate to have it here. But just the idea that we're kind of moving out into the community. The community center, I think, is an ideal location. I think there could be conversation potentially about more later, but not for this year, maybe at least one in the community.
If the council desires to have another additional meeting, I would recommend that you have it on June the 20th, because that would follow your second council budget session, and we'd have a better idea of what the actual budget that will be presented to you with the amendments will look like at that point. But we can work on that if that's something that's of interest to the council.
Well, I was going to say, I think even just based on the conversation that you had online today. My question even be whether or not there may be opportunities for you to have those snippets put out on as well, just getting to a broader audience by using technology, not displacing the meetings, but seems to be an easy way to get some of the information out depending on what the viewership is.
I'll work with our Allison, our communications director, to see, you know, what avenues can we take to try and make sure that we expand people's ability to see those videos. The police office or the police department was the first department that we're highlighting. I believe next up is planning and development. We'll talk a little bit, or primarily, Mr. Cross will talk more about the comprehensive plan and the approach being taken for that. I believe you talked about the police station and the other question I think that you'd indicated we'll talk about, which has to do with utility contractor management. So those are all of the questions that I have currently.
Other questions? I have a few I'd like to ask that I've not necessarily asked at this time. Could you or the chief get to me the I know I when I look under the police department, how many vacancies we have and how we're moving forward with that. Doesn't need to be now, but just as we move forward through the budget process. And then probably could we get some idea of, I think you have said to us before that we seem to be moving along on pace, if you will, for bringing EMS in. So timeline-wise, we seem to still be moving with a methodical approach to bring it in at the appropriate time.
Yes, if you ask the Chief Henson, he will tell you we'll be ready in August. I would like to say November because I'm a city manager and I'm, you know, just conservative. But we're certainly shooting for August. I think that we'll be ready to go around that time. But it will be between August and November.
Yep. Thank you. Then under the Parks Department, on page 142, if someone could get back to me, just because the personnel number jumped up, I don't believe this is all lifeguards. It was the personnel number jumped up by 216%. And so this is a question as to that. And then the last one was, and since I was the liaison to the pension board for some time, and it looks like in this particular case, either our fees have gone down in some categories and then it looks like we've recategorized a number of, if you will, the consulting fees or the contractual services. So I'm just trying to get a better idea of the decrease from 37 to 27,000 in one category and then the increase by 75,000 in another and how that came about, which is the actuarial, which is the lawyer, which is accounting, so that we sort of get, and which is the fund management. As well. The only last two questions I have are things that you both mentioned during this presentation. That is, we had talked about, I believe, doing the citizen satisfaction survey, and so I was just curious as to when you anticipate that coming out.
The citizen satisfaction survey is budgeted for this fiscal year. Our communications director, in fact, will be meeting next week to make some decision on what company we're going to go with. So we'll start that process this summer, and we're hopeful that it will be completed. It normally takes about 3 months to complete, but it will start this fiscal year.
And then the sewer lateral program, I'm not sure exactly when we started the new one, but you referenced it. So has there been enough time yet to ascertain the effectiveness and the citizen satisfaction, if you will, with that service?
We are still, and I'll let our Public Works Director, Sinan Aplasan, respond to this, but we're still seeing some of the projects that were already in the hopper before the policy changed. So many of those are still going through our system. I think we'll have a better sense of the impact of the policy probably within the next 60 days, I'm guessing. I believe all of those will have made its way through our system at that point. Is that accurate?
Okay. That's all I had. Mr. Clay, do you have more?
I this is partially on to facilitate his working. I guess mine has some relationship to it, but I do have a question. But did you have a question?
No, okay. I'm keeping it on.
So okay, yeah. All right.
No, it actually... Maybe it triangulates is what I was thinking.
If you want to go ahead, I've had a bunch.
Thank you.
I will come around again.
Mr. Rose, I should have asked this during the capital improvement budget process, but you have down $250,000 for Heeman Park improvements. Excuse me. Is that keep in mind that we still have MSD and their wastewater storage containers looming, and whether or not we're going to make improvements to the park, and then MSD is going to come along and tear it all up?
Yes, we won't start that project until we know exactly what's going to happen with MSD. But if, as you are aware, it's not certain at this point that where MSD will end up placing their facilities. So if it turns out that we are not, and I believe most of this is associated with the pool. Is that accurate? Darren, I'm looking at you. So if it turns out that we are proposing a project in Heeman Park that's going to be impacted by MSD improvements, then yeah, we're not going to start with those.
Real quickly, I believe that Councilmember Smotherson, who's joining us by telephone, has a question, and I'm going to try to make sure that we can make this work for him. Dwayne, can you hear us? Barely. But go ahead. We can probably hear it. Go ahead. Yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. City Manager Rose, and I want to apologize to everybody for being away and having to ask a question like this. But very quickly, what I wanted to ask about is to have a breakdown of that public safety fund, meaning the Prop P funds or the money that was allotted for the police station, because I notice and I show in your budget book that it's down to $4.7 million. And one of the reasons I've been asking for a detailed report on that is because I'm hoping that we move that process up sooner rather than later, simply because it seems to be dwindling and dwindling the further along that we push this. We started with $7 million. Now we're down to $6 million. And now we're down to $4.7 million. So that's something that I'd like to get a detailed report on, but I'd like to see us push doing something about that. And I agree with what Stacey said. So and I don't necessarily need you to comment on that, but I'm hoping for a better report and to think about moving that up. But also, the other thing that I wanted to think about, my concern is to have a huge impact on streets sooner rather than later. And one of the things that I was looking at is my question to you, the city manager, is how sure are we in reference to the shot finder being effective for U City, the $75,000 that we're going to be spending for a shot finder, how sure are we that's going to be effective? Because that $75,000 plus $20,000 annual that we're going to, which is $95,000 for the first year, and then $20,000 to maintain that. But how sure are we that's going to be effective?
I'll have the chief come up and talk with you briefly about the research that was performed as far as why we're recommending that particular software. With regards to the police station, if you recall, the mayor and council loaned the public safety fund $6 million last year. I'm not familiar with the $7 million, but certainly $6 million was loaned to the public safety fund last year for the design analysis of the annex and the construction of the police facility. $1.3 million of that was allocated for the design and analysis of the police annex for this year. And that's why you have the remaining $4.7 million. Now, there may be some adjustments because, as you recall, we used a portion of those funds to purchase property that the current police facility resides on. So instead of leasing those that property into perpetuity and not having anything at the end of that, the mayor and council made the decision to go ahead and purchase it. So we can certainly provide you with the breakdown of what those costs look like, the cost of the analysis for the annex, the police annex, as well as the cost for the property and what we believe will be the cost of the design. If I could have Chief come up and talk with you about the shot.
Excuse me. Good evening. We call it the ShotSpotter program, but that's actually a trademark of an actual company. ShotSpotter program would have set us back $350,000, $500,000 in approximation. This program with V5 is a pilot program that we're entering to test the results of their program. This program does not require wiring. So this will be wireless, solar, and will have its own Wi-Fi feed, which is a program out of California that's trying to compete with the programs that are much more costlier. One reason the programs are much more costlier, it limits, for one, the availability for smaller organizations, jurisdictions that cannot afford, I give an example. In San Francisco, they may have two or three of those ShotSpotter programs that's costing them $350,000, $500,000 a year in general. This is only a tool, the tool that puts you in the right direction where shots are being fired, puts a deterrent, and it also puts the police and the law enforcement officials in that area at a quicker pace to probably make an arrest. The technology that was tested a while back with not in this jurisdiction but in another jurisdiction in St. Louis County did not work. That included the ShotSpotter type of programming along with camera programming to take a snapshot in the area where they're detecting the ShotSpotter. That did not deem as being successful, and that company has since bowed out of the market. So this V5 program, early as today, we're in touch with the representatives, and you're looking at a 2 to 4 week time frame now for the litigation of all the different jurisdictions, all the different companies, Ameren, V5, Regent Power, and University City, to where we all now have a possible MOU in place or coming into place to where this pilot program could lead to this budgeting of more aspects going on within University City and more prospects of that being utilized. But yes, this is only a tool, and the effectability of this tool is going to be tested first before any money is being requested to be spent.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, and thank you. So again, before the $75,000 is spent and $20,000, it's going to be tested first to see if that's effective, if that's what I'm understanding you saying.
I didn't copy that one right there.
I'm sorry.
He said...
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm thinking what you just said is that it's going to be tested first before we actually spend any money.
Yes, sir. That is correct. That is okay. Correct. This pilot program is absolutely free. For right now. Now, once that's put in place and we see the results, and if this results is of the satisfaction of the mayor and the council and the city manager, then at that point it will be requested from our judgment of the program itself to say, yes, this is effective, or no, this is kind of a waste of money, or whatever the case is. There's a lot of programs like that you have to kind of test out first, and this one was kind of offered initially with a company that went out of business, and now this being offered with a company that picked up that business to test the solar and the Wi-Fi and the wireless connectivity, so that way we're not impeding on any Ameren poles, and it's more portable to be moved and processed in different areas of our city.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And for the city manager and again, I wanted to ask and just make another statement, and that is, again, my statement is about I'm really looking for a street impact, meaning to improve the streets in the Third Ward and improve the streets in University City, period. And so I'm just wondering about some of the costs that we have. And another issue that I have a question about is why are we purchasing five alternative fuel vehicles. And I understand that's for housing, but the point that you made about the vehicles is that they have GPS. But there is a cheaper way to give the inspectors tablets that have GPS. And so that would save and allow us to put more into streets that we're trying to get taken care of this year, this fiscal year. And that's my question.
It's simply a policy decision that the mayor and council will need to make, whether you believe that our code enforcement officers should drive their own vehicles as they have for many, many years. I think that I'm recommending that we don't do that. The reason that we are asking for the alternative, we could likely get a cheaper vehicle, but what does that mean for our environment? And so that's the reason that the alternative fuel vehicle is being recommended. That, again, is a policy decision that the mayor and council will end up making. That's certainly what I'm recommending, because I think it's important to do as much as we can to be effective in our operations, but also as much as we can to minimize our carbon footprint on our planet. With regards to the street improvements, you might also recall that this is the final year of significant debt that will be paid out of general fund. So we will have a opportunity to create a multi-year street improvement plan. And as you know, we weren't even sure we were going to be a city a few weeks ago. So Better Together, while it is not certain as to what is going to happen there, it's still more likely, I believe, at this point that we'll continue to exist. Now, had Better Together moved forward in its existing state, that would have removed Public Works from up under us. So that's the reason that we are simply recommending that we maintain the existing level of funding for streets. The other side of that is that we need to ensure that we have the appropriate staffing for whatever funding amount we recommend to you. So it does us no good if I recommend to you to put $2 million per year in streets, only to have $1.3 million fall to fund balance each year. So we need to make sure and do a good analysis about what is the amount of streets that we can do with our current staff, and if we want to do additional streets, then what does that mean as well for staffing impacts? And all of that analysis, I believe, now that we're pretty assured that we'll be here around for a little while, will occur in FY 2020.
Thank you. I think that Mr. Hales had some. I know you've had your bite of the apple. I was going to let him have his bite of the apple. Nope, you're done? Okay. Mr. Clay.
Just quickly, we have I think you articulated a 37% fund balance. But the recommendation of the statute or the policy is 17%. Can you talk about the reason for such what appears to be a doubling of the policy?
I sure can. I believe that the minimal amount that you currently have is 17%. It's too low. In the past, the reliance was more heavy on property taxes, much more stable. Now you are heavily reliant on sales tax, or you're reliant on sales tax that's coming from a different government, such as fuel tax and so forth. With that, if there is a downturn in our economy, we have to have the money in place that can enable us to continue to operate, to continue to provide good level of service until our economy begins to recover. Now, all in all fairness, I'm hopeful that we don't have a great recession for many, many years, but we have to be prepared just in case that occurs. I don't know that it has to be 37%. It could likely be lower. I think that we'll have a better sense of what it will be, what I will be recommending to you for this year once I know what's going to happen with the pension fund. That's still unknown at this point. But it is likely that the mayor and council, I'll be recommending that you make additional contributions to the certainly the uniform and perhaps the non-uniform.
That fund balance number, actually, the percentage came before even before I was on council. That was proposed years ago by Bob Wagner. And then I think a large part of the fund balance increase is due to the settlements of Mr. Mulligan and company, who have brought us a number of cellular settlements over the past decade, if you will. So that's sort of where the fund balance came from. Any other questions from members of the body? Hearing none, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, Legal Actions, Causes of Actions, Litigation regarding a public governmental body and any confidential privileged communications between a public governmental body and its representatives and attorneys. Is there such a motion? Motion by Mr. Hales. There is a second by Councilmember Carr. Any discussion of the motion? Hearing no discussion, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay? Aye. Councilmember Smotherson?
I'm not sure if he is.
Yeah. Still Mayor Crowe?
He said he's still here, and I think I'm not sure if that was an aye or not. I think you vote to go into closed session.
Yes,
sure.
He can.
Sure, you can. Sure. Yeah. Is that an aye or an a? Thank you. He's aye. I'm an aye. Thank you, everyone from the public, for coming this evening. We appreciate you being here, both those that are here in person and those who are watching through live stream.